Good morning, everyone. Be really helpful if you turn to that first reading, Book of Isaiah, page 696. Have you ever cut down a tree? Maybe not a giant oak, but an apple tree in your garden, or an elder bush that was threatening to push over your fence. Did you cut it down in one go? Or did you take the more sensible approach, branch by branch, until just the stump? Or have you ever watched tree surgeons at work, removing a tree, especially in a built-up area? They're called surgeons. You wouldn't want them operating on you with their chainsaws. But they are very impressive when they go about their work. Branch by branch, the tree comes down. Finally, the trunk, leaving a neat stump just above the ground. That's a picture of the experience of God's people, the nation of Israel, at the time of our Old Testament reading from Isaiah this morning. A once mighty nation, reduced, dismantled, limb by limb, split into two through division and civil war. Soon what little remained would be defeated, carried off into exile in Babylon. A great nation felled, only the stump remaining. And yet this stump is a sign of hope. We've been looking in December at Old Testament prophecies, looking ahead to the Messiah, and specifically the prophecies of the prophet Isaiah that we see fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. That's been our Advent series as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' first coming at Christmas, and as we wait for the day he will return as he promised. Last week we looked at Isaiah 9. Marcia preached to us, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, we read. It was a promise of new light in the darkness. And this week, Isaiah 11 is a promise of new life after destruction. A shoot, verse 1, will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. While all that would be left shortly of the nation will be a stump, a symbol of destruction and devastation, yet this stump is also a sign of hope. One day, new life, a new shoot will come from it, specifically a new ruler, a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. This is a promise of a new king in David's line, David's family tree. Tonight at the carol service, as we read through the Christmas readings, the events of Jesus' birth from Luke's gospel, we will read how Joseph and Mary went to Nazareth, to Bethlehem, because he belonged to the house and the line of David, the family tree. And I want to say two things about this promised ruler in Isaiah, the king who one day will come. I want to say something about his credentials and then something about his calling. Firstly, his credentials. Verse 2, have a look at verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. A spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What are the Messiah's credentials? Well, it's not only that he came from the right family, the family of David, the line of David, but more importantly, he will be full of the Spirit of God. And what a difference that will make compared to the corrupt and godless rulers of Isaiah's times. A ruler with wisdom and understanding, of counsel and power, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And we read in our gospel reading just earlier, Jesus, his baptism, filled with this Spirit, descending on him like a dove. And he will use this gift of the Spirit, this endowment of the Spirit, in particular, it seems, to bring justice and to judge correctly. Have a look at verse 3 in that second paragraph. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. This will be a ruler who shows no partiality. He will not judge by what he sees or decide by what he hears. Sounds strange. As we think of our newly elected leaders following the general election, there is a prayer in the Book of Common Prayer that we use once a month at the 8 a.m. service. And you might be familiar to some of you. It's a prayer that prays for our government. We pray for the Queen, and we pray, we grant unto her whole council and to all who are put in authority under her, that they may truly and indifferently minister justice. It's an old-fashioned prayer, and it can be misunderstood to judge indifferently. Sounds, when you read it to modern ears, as if you don't care. Well, I don't really care about my judgment. I'm indifferent to it. But it doesn't mean you don't care. It means that you are not swayed by those who make the most noise, by those who attract the most attention, by those who can pay the biggest bribes. And the ruler that Isaiah looks forward to will not be swayed. He will judge with righteousness. In fact, verse 4, he will pay attention to those who make the least noise, who are most often overlooked, the poor of the earth. This is a vision of justice for and within the people of God. The military campaign in Afghanistan following the 9/11 terror attacks in 2001, Operation Enduring Freedom, it was called. It ran for 13 years before it finally ended in 2014. But it was originally codenamed Operation Infinite Justice. And the name was quickly changed. An impossible task, almost a laughable name. And that's not a comment on the rights or the wrongs of the conflict. But it's clear that the Western powers do not possess either the knowledge or the power to bring infinite justice. But the king of whom Isaiah speaks has both knowledge and power. The Spirit of the Lord, of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel and power, of knowledge. Verse 4, with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice. And it's clear by now that Isaiah cannot possibly be looking forward to a merely human king. It would be impossible to fulfill all these hopes in a mere man. And so this passage and others like it force us to look ahead to Jesus, both in his first coming, where we see a glimpse of his wisdom and his just judgments and his concern for the outcast. But beyond that, and ultimately, his second coming, we say in the Creed, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. Which leads us on from the Messiah's credentials to, secondly, his calling. Look at verse 6 and this grips your imagination. Verse 6, that the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, etc., etc. A few years ago, before Christmas, I met up with some clergy friends. We're all vicars. We were at theological college together, and we meet up throughout the year. And I asked them a few years ago, I had a Christmas Day talk that I needed to do, and I asked them for inspiration for my Christmas Day children's talk. I needed a good illustration. And one of my friends, Steve, said, give all the children toy swords and get them to beat them into plowshares. Which seemed to me a brilliant illustration, if entirely unworkable, and needless to say, I didn't use it. Although Joy's doing the talk on Christmas Day, you can have a go. Isaiah looks ahead in his book to various visions of peace. One of the well-known ones is this vision of swords into plowshares. But here, a different one, the wolf and the lamb, the lion and the cow together. We are not to take this literally, of course. Wolves eat lambs. That's what they do. That's how God has designed them. A lion that stops eating wildebeest and eats only grass has stopped being a lion. But this is a vivid picture, a symbol of harmony, a new world order when the Messiah finally reigns. It is, if you like, a return to the Garden of Eden, to paradise, peace, safety, security. This is the calling of the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Again, an impossible vision. Imagine all the people living life in peace, sang John Lennon. And he was shot in the streets a few years later. Remember the famous incident in the trenches in France on Christmas Day 1914 when the German and the British soldiers laid down their weapons and they came out and they laughed and they talked and they exchanged cigarettes. They played football. Apparently the Germans won on penalties, I'm told. A wonderful picture, experience of peace for one day only. Because they had not beaten their weapons into plowshares. The next day they were back in the trenches shooting at each other. We're not very good at peace. At making it or keeping it. And so Isaiah's vision of peace under the Messiah's rule points us again to Jesus, not just his first coming, but his second. As those who follow the Messiah, followers of Jesus, we are called to continue his ministry and his mission, to reflect the character of Christ and to continue in his calling, full of the Spirit, people of integrity and honesty and impartiality, of right judgment. We are to be peacemakers. What does that mean for you this Christmas? As you think of the people that you will spend time with over the next couple of weeks, when your families come together, is it lions and lambs? Will they sit down in harmony or tear one another to pieces? What is your role? What are the opportunities that you have ahead of you to be a follower of the Prince of Peace and to show wisdom and understanding and knowledge and the fear of the Lord? As followers of Jesus, we are called to continue his ministry. And we are called to wait for his return. This great Advent theme, Emil Brunner, a theologian, wrote this: faith in Jesus without the expectation of his return is a check which is never cashed, a promise which is not made in earnest, a flight of steps that leads nowhere. As we prepare to celebrate his first coming in humility, so we wait for his return in glory, when he will finally bring a new world order, a new heavens and new earth, a world of justice and of peace, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray our collect once more. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our judge. Amen.